The gospel reading comes from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 8 through 17. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you." The word of the Lord.
Indulge me here for a minute. Let's let the room go silent. You can just feel it, can't you? Now let's just breathe together a couple breaths. Just breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in one last time, breathe out. You know what I just did? I literally formed a conspiracy here. Literally, I formed a conspiracy. And you're thinking, what is he talking about? Conspiracies are those secret little spooky things where people are, off in the corner whispering with each other. Well, think about it. There's a handful of words in the English language that at the heart of them have the word S-P-I-R, conspiracy, as in conspire, inspire, expire, respirator. What is that, the root of all those words? It's from the Latin, spirare, which means to breathe. So a respirator is a machine that helps you to breathe if your body isn't capable of doing it. And what is literally to inspire? It is to breathe in. And what happens when you take a good deep breath? You're filled with oxygen and you feel energized. What better picture for inspiration, right? And when you expire, what happens? You breathe out. You breathe out your final breath. It leaves your body. And what happens when that occurs? You're dead, right? So conspire literally means, con means with or together. So to conspire is literally to breathe together. And what a beautiful little image that is, isn't it? Because when you conspire, you whisper together and you're silent and you just breathe together. But literally, I got us breathing together. And of course, the key word that has S-P-I-R as its root is the word spirit. You've heard it many times that the root of spirit is the word for breath. And what better image for the spirit? The breath is what we cannot see, but what literally gives us life. And the spirit is the same way. So that brings us to Pentecost and God's wonderful gift of the spirit to his people. And it brings us to the lesson for today. Jesus is meeting with his disciples before he's going to the cross. And he wants to prepare them for what is going to happen. Not only his death on the cross, but also for when he ascends to his Father and he gives them the gift of the Spirit. And he's saying to them, I'm going to have to go away, and that's going to be a good thing. Well, his disciples, of course, don't understand what's going on here. And Philip, bless his heart, says, well, all right, if you have to go away and we can't have you and it's going to be hard for us, but at least then show us where we can find the Father and that'll be good. We can do with that. Show us out here where we can look and find and grab hold of the Father. And Jesus just sadly shakes his head and goes, have you been with me all this time and not gotten the point? All that I've been able to teach, all that I've been able to do, the miracles, all the the feedings and the healings and all of this, has that come because I've been calling down upon God to send your power down here? No. The source of that power has come from a whole different place. And where was that? It was inside. Jesus said, deep inside, I and the Father are one. That is our unity, and it is out of that deep unity from within that all of this comes flowing out. So it's good that I even get out of the way, because when I send the Spirit to you, the Spirit can be closer to you than I can ever be to you now. And where are we going to find the Spirit, the gift that Jesus promises to give us? He says this. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. Like poor Philip, they're looking for God out there somewhere else. Jesus says, no, you will know the Spirit because the Spirit abides with you, conspire, and he will be in you. Where else would we look? That brings us to the Gospel of John, where the Pentecost is a little different in the Gospel of John from what we hear in the Acts. In the Gospel of John, after Jesus has been raised from the dead, his disciples are still locked away for fear in a locked room. They're in a tomb themselves. Their faith has expired. The Spirit has gone out of them, and they are left only afraid and hopeless in that room. And so when Jesus comes in, the first thing he has to do is inspire them. And he literally breathes on them and says, here, receive the Spirit. And then he says, now the way the Spirit works best is when you conspire, when you let the Spirit work in you and through you and as you together, and that is what is going to have an impact in this world, and that is the gift of Pentecost. And that brings us to us. How do we know this? How do we live this conspiring, this breathing together with the Spirit? Well, what got me thinking and pondering about this was I have a devotion book for pastors, and it raises all sorts of interesting questions, very thought-provoking questions. And one of the questions that I've been challenged by lately is this. It says, what do you, as a pastor of a church, what do you feel most deeply in your heart about your church? Because that's what they will become. I thought, can it really work that easy? It sounds kind of zen. What is in your heart is what they will become. But then I thought of a specific thing that happened in our church over a year ago. We were invited to consider whether we would bless same-sex unions. This was before same-sex marriages were legal. And it was a challenge. And we decided to talk about this. And frankly, at the time, I had no idea how we would respond. It's a hot-button issue in many places, and we had never talked about it, and I did not know. And when you don't know something, what is your natural tendency? It's to be a little leery, a little afraid of it. And what happens when you're afraid? Do you breathe easy? No, you tighten up, right? You take little shallow breaths, and you don't know what's going to go on, what's going to happen. But instead of just tightening up, we found a way to trust one another, to have a discussion, to trust one another enough to be able to actually share what was in our hearts. And what was delightful to find out is our hearts said, we wanted to be diverse. We wanted to be open. We wanted to be accepting. We wanted to be loving. And so what was deepest in our hearts, we enabled our church to become. I thought about that thing because it was both gratifying and humbling, because it was not something that I was in control of. Instead, it wasn't just about what was at my heart that determined the future of the church. Rather, I firmly believe that it was what was at the heart of all of you. What you felt most deeply about this church is what this church is going to become. And that is the gift of the Spirit. And that is the gift that Christ gives in us, through us, and as us to the world. Amen.